Joe Griffin. Hello, sir. How are you, man?
I'm really good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, man, I am delighted to have you. Kira is probably like, what the hell is going to go on here now with these two? But Kira, this is going to be exciting.
I know it is. I know it is. But also, Chris, you have to understand that it's been a long time since I've been involved in gaming. And in fairness, I think I've worn the arse out of the fact that I say on the show all the time that I used to play Metal Gear Solid. I was cool for like about what? 3 months?
That's Kira's thing, if you get me, yeah. Joe. As in, when we're talking about games, Kira will bring up, well, I did play Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation 1.
Okay, Joe, can I ask you, what was one of the first things I said to you when I met you earlier on?
You mentioned Metal Gear Solid.
See,
and how long it
see,
was.
See, it's my thing. It's my thing. I don't know what else to say about gaming.
Do you not know it? Did you not play Crash Bandicoot or any of those like girl
Crash,
games?
I played Crash Bandicoot. I played Super Mario Brothers. I played Zool.
Oh, Zool, that's really old school.
Thank you.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. Joe Griffin is in with us. He's on Twitter. His Twitter is at TheJoeGriffin. So at TheJoeGriffin, you should check him out. Because he is a very interesting gentleman when it comes to the whole gaming industry. Because let me tell you something. Joe, people don't realize this. And this is why I thought that it would be really fun if we all had a chat about this. The gaming industry, which a lot of people might not, you know, the gaming industry is always still kind of seen as that nerdy thing that, you know, 12-year-old boys do on a Saturday, if you get what I'm saying. It's not. The gaming industry is bigger than the film industry and the music industry combined in terms of money that gets turned over in there. Do you know what I mean? This is massive. And if you're a hardcore gamer, you're already going to know that. But many people, the non-gamers, and I'm sorry, Kira, I'm going to include you in the non-gamer section, might be a little surprised by this. So we decided, man, I'm telling you, computer games have taken over the entertainment world. Why don't we have a chat when we can about computer games, what's going on in the entertainment world, all of this kind of shit. And Joe, that is what you're here for, because I love that kind of stuff. I would imagine you are. Would you say you're an avid gamer?
I'm afraid so, yeah. I was playing them just today, partly for work, but also partly for pleasure.
Sure. I mean, imagine pleasure is still a huge factor in it.
Yeah, it is. I was saying earlier that really annoying thing about video games is they tell you the milestones. So they tell you if you've been playing the new Just Cause game for 20 hours. You get sometimes a little notification saying, congratulations, 24 hours has passed playing Zuma and stuff. And you don't want to be told those kind of things. You don't want to be reminded of the time you're frittering away while you're relatively young and healthy.
I was like, I'd like those reminders in real life. As in, like, well done, you got to the end of the week.
You've spent 72 hours doing the week.
I would like that sort of dopamine in my real life than actually, you know, on a computer screen.
But you see, Joe makes a good point because, like, when you're being reminded, Joe, I don't know if you use Steam at all, do you?
Not much, occasionally, but I'm more of a console guy.
You see, I use Steam for PC gaming, and Steam literally tells you how long you've spent playing every game you've ever turned on.
Did you not tell me recently that you spent something like 22 hours playing a particular game?
48.
Okay, 48.
Over Christmas, I downloaded Age of Empires, Joe. I went way back old school, and I spent 48 hours playing it over, like, whatever, the 2 weeks of Christmas. So that'll give you an idea
of
what's going on here.
What Chris was telling me, which I couldn't believe, seemingly bands and artists out there make more money from featuring on a computer game than they would on iTunes, let's say, for example.
You see, I'm always trying to make games cool to Kira, if you get me, because I still feel like I'm defending games sometimes and I feel like a bit of a nerd for liking them. But Joe, maybe you'd be more of an expert on this than I am. Isn't that true that in a lot of cases, if your music is licensed or whatever for a game like Grand Theft Auto or Guitar Hero or any of those, that you get an enormous payday, like bigger than being featured in a film or anything?
Yeah, that's the case with a lot of bands, and a lot of them get a big spike in their sales after they've been featured in a game. So like the Guitar Hero franchise has sold over 25 million units worldwide. Some of the biggest albums of all time haven't sold that. Like Adele's last album wouldn't have sold that.
Yeah, of course. But Guitar Hero's selling that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Weezer's My Name is Jonas, which is a pretty cool song, that originally came out in the 90s. That saw a tenfold increase in sales after appearing in a Guitar Hero game. Motley Crue saw a 5 times increase in their sales. And in other news, people are still buying Motley Crue albums.
Yeah, man, who knew that, right? But it's still happening. It's happening because of these games. That is why it's happening, right? I mean, you get featured in one of these games, even the Grand Theft Auto games. Like, I remember when I was a teenager, Grand Theft Auto is what introduced loads of us to particular types of music because it was in there. It's a massive thing now. So it is kind of, I guess, in a way, interesting that now it's nearly a bigger deal for a band to be featured in a game than it would be in a TV show or a film. But I mean, if you think about it, games haven't been cool for that long, if you get me, Joe. Like, there's still a, I won't say a stigma, but games still aren't as cool as film or TV by any means. Do you know what I mean? Or music.
No, it's still seen as niche, even though they, as you said, make more money than movies. For example, the last Grand Theft Auto game made $1 billion in its first day.
Did it make $1 billion in its first day?
In its first 24 hours. That's something like four times what Star Wars, the last Star Wars film, was made in its opening weekend.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. The artists that feature on Grand Theft Auto then make a big payday because of the fact that it would have sold $1 billion within a couple of days.
Yes. Okay. So they get an advance, they get a cash advance, just like an author or a musician would when they first sign. And then they get like a little royalty for every unit of the game that's sold. Yeah. Now, that's more the case with the music games, with the likes of SingStar or Guitar Hero or Rock Band. But as far as I know, there's still a little commission in the narrative games like Grand Theft Auto as well. And guess which pop star is having a game coming out this year? Towards
pop
the end
star?
Of the year?
Justin Bieber.
Okay.
No, do you want to do another guess?
No, hold on now. Male or female?
Female.
Okay.
Nicki Minaj.
No.
Selena Gomez.
No, but you're on the right track.
Oh, the other
Taylor
one.
Swift.
Yes.
Oh.
Taylor Swift.
She has a game coming out.
Is there not enough money in the world now that Taylor Swift has already?
Yeah, is she not okay?
I don't know. I guess you can always have more. So
that is true. More
that
money is
true,
nice
though.
As well. Yeah.
The best way to find out the limits of $100 million is to have $100 million,
sure.
I guess.
I get you. Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know if she's worth that much. But she's involved in this game. These app game developers, they made that Kim Kardashian app game that came out.
Oh, it's the same one that made the Kim K game.
Yes, and they had a Katy Perry game as well. But the Kim Kardashian game made $200 million.
What?
Yeah.
And
that was mostly on microtransactions, you know, microtransactions
no,
in the game.
No, Joe, you should explain actually what a microtransaction is, because this shit is fascinating when you get into how games make money. Joe, what's a microtransaction?
A microtransaction is kind of a ripoff. So it's you buy the game and then to get a little boost, a little bonus, maybe an extra weapon if it's a combat game or an extra outfit if it's a Kim Kardashian game, you pay a little bit extra money. Or to get a little leg up in a game to progress, you pay a little bit of extra money. So people were complaining to the App Store that they'd spent.
In-app purchases. And
exactly.
Yeah,
in-app purchases.
It's with real world money, if you get me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're giving your character fake money so it can buy a new outfit in a game.
Yeah, with your real money.
Yeah, with your real money, exactly.
Loads
yeah.
of parents were given out about particular children's apps because their kids are pressing a button and then they'd go and check their credit card and they had huge massive credit card bills because kids were just pressing random buttons and didn't even really know what they were doing. They made it that easy for
See,
even a child to make an
deceptive.
In-app purchase.
Usually you'd need like your CV2 number on the back of your card, or you'd need something. The fact that a child could go on there and rack up thousands kind of shows they probably intended that to happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's an in-app purchase, Joe. And we were talking, sorry, we got off the subject there, but you're saying that generally those games like the Taylor Swift game and the Kim Kardashian game, they make all their money from the in-app purchases.
Yes.
Because in a lot of cases, those apps are free, aren't they?
Frequently, or like the price of a cup of coffee or something like that.
Yeah.
These games would not really be my bag. The Kim Kardashian.
Would they not? No,
do you not
really?
Kim Kardashian,
you're not in a Kim Kardashian
that's
game.
Weird.
Well,
I thought you would be.
Me and Kira love it. But hey, we're always playing it.
Well, yeah, they're kind of like administration games, except
they're
with
so
bad.
Boring.
Yeah, except
they're
with animation. So
boring.
A lot of the games like that, like The Sims and stuff, are just chores to me, you know, like you're doing the virtual dishes while letting your actual dishes go.
Exactly. You want to blow up like a helicopter when you're playing a game. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to be washing the dishes.
At the very least, you want to be doing something that you can't do in real life. There's a friend of mine is a journalist and he's a sometime film critic, and he was big into The Sims and he stopped playing it abruptly. All of a sudden he said, I just stopped last week. And I said, why? And he said, because I was playing it and staying up late. And then the next morning, I flew to London to interview Harrison Ford, and then I flew back and played The Sims, and I was mowing my lawn in the video game. So he had paid whatever, €60 to play a video game that was less exciting than his actual real life.
Wow.
Imagine, yeah.
Wow.
Literally, he was mowing the lawn in The Sims while going and interviewing Harrison Ford during
in
the
real
day.
Life.
That's insane. Yeah, a lot of those games, like there's games like Farm Simulator and like you know I have a truck simulator and I love it, but I'm like, why am I doing it? I could sit on a motorway all day if I wanted to, but because it's a truck I'm like, oh no, this is cool. So I kind of get where you're coming from, but I'm actually just as bad for that. I love my truck simulator game. I can play it all day. But Joe, before you go, actually, because this was an interesting first chat with you, I hope we have many more. You kind of keep your finger on the pulse of all the big games that are coming out, don't you?
Yeah, I try to. I try to play at least one or two a month of the new ones that come out. On a really good month, I play many more than that.
So on a really good month, were you talking about for review purposes, you could play a whole load?
Oh, yeah, like 2 or 3 a week.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, you need to break this down for me. I have absolutely no idea what's hot in the gaming world right now.
The biggest game at the moment, which is also actually really fun, is LEGO Marvel's Avengers. So the LEGO games were a precursor to the LEGO movie, which everybody who's seen it and is sane absolutely loves. So the movie would not be the same if it wasn't for the games. The games,
they tie into each other, don't they?
Yeah, and also the games that predate the LEGO movie have the same look and they have the same sense of humor, same kind of slapstick and ironic and commentary on what an actual game or a movie is. And so the LEGO movie just felt like another one of those LEGO games. Now, they're really fun. There's Harry Potter ones and Star Wars ones and ones for all the superheroes. And what I like about them is they're kind of affectionate spoofs. So they recreate moments from the films, except with little slap.
With LEGO dudes.
Yeah, with LEGO people. And then little kind of funny moments, like there is a scene in the new Avengers game when the Hulk is upset and he's cuddling a teddy bear. So they just add little details like that.
I get you.
When they're sneaking up on one another, they're holding a giant plant in front of themselves, like those old school cartoons.
Yeah, it's very self-aware or whatever. Yeah, it's not taking itself too seriously. I get you. So you're saying that's the big game with them. What's it called? LEGO Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah. So it's a game of the last two Avengers films.
As a game form. And you can kind of feck around in it.
Yeah, the third person kind of action games. And you can play local multiplayer. So that means you don't need to go online. You can just have your friends sitting beside you on the couch playing at the same time.
No, I get you. Absolutely. Joe, before you go, I do have one nerdy question. Your console of choice, what would that be, man?
I'm afraid it's a PS4.
Don't say I'm afraid, Joe. Be proud of yourself.
People always freak out and yell at me no matter what answer I give.
Here, can I give you one piece of context before we go?
Go for it.
In the gaming world, in the nerdy gaming world, this has been the most exciting 12 minutes of my life for the last year. No, in the nerdy gaming world, there's this kind of divide between people who play on consoles and people who play on PCs.
Okay.
And both of them look down on each other, if you get me. And there's this weird kind of, you know, like Protestant versus Catholic kind of thing. You know, one thinks it's better than the other. It's kind of, and it's gone on for, you know, a long time, kind of just like that other stuff. And there's always that kind of thing as well. So, you know, the PC guys, you know, think they're so much more elite and sophisticated. And
it's funny when yourself and Joe were talking about that, I was, in my head, I was like, Game Boy,
Sega, your console's
Sega choice. Game Gear.
That would mean you have hipster taste in consoles now because you like the old stuff.
Here has retro taste.
That's
exactly.
I'm retro.
It's retro taste.
Thank you. I'm a retro gamer,
guys. I'm playing this Game Boy ironically. Like, I could be playing on a PC, but this is a cool thing. Joe, man, this was fun. I love getting to nerd it up occasionally. And Kira, I'm sorry if this was like babble, but I think Kira learned a lot.
Nope. I learned an awful lot.
Yeah, I think so. But look, Joe, man, your Twitter is @TheJoeGriffin. @TheJoeGriffin. So the and then Joe Griffin. Man, you'll come in again, right?
Yeah, I'd love to.